We bid you welcome tonight in the Saviour's name. We're going to begin the midweek turning to the hymn 512. Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build thy house again. Thy love let it my heart o'erpower and all my yearning soul devour. Was asked to visit a gentleman today. Some of you will know him. He's called Raymond Wallace, and Raymond is the uncle of Diane McLean. And just recently he has been diagnosed with cancer, and his days are very numbered. Raymond has been reading through the book 100 Days of Lockdown, and he has found it a great encouragement to him. And he would go to bed at night and say to his wife, "I wonder what David has for us tonight." So he requested if I would go and meet with him, read with him, pray with him, and I did that today. So do remember him, please, in prayer. Our sister Barbara got home from hospital, or was to get home from hospital today, and Jane, that we've been praying for, she's still in a high dependency unit, and there's no change in her condition, so she's still very, very seriously ill. I'm going to bow together and seek the Lord before the throne of grace in prayer. We've been praying for Moira, and she's here tonight, and it's good to see her in the prayer meeting and Bible study. Robert said it's because of the tender, loving care that she has received. And no doubt that's something to do with it as well. But the Lord is good. Father, we thank thee that we are the sheep that the shepherd died for. We can say with the apostle that he loved me and he gave himself for me. We thank thee that Christ Jesus came into the world. He came to be the sacrifice for sin, to offer up unto his Father that one and for all time sacrifice that we might be saved. We rejoice that he's sitting now, for he sat down at the right hand of the Father, signifying that the work was done, that redemption was completed, that the atonement was made. And he's sitting there as the interceder and mediator of his people, now in heaven, on the throne of God and the Lamb. There he sits to plead our cause. And yet as God, he's present with us in the midst of this gathering as we come together in his name. We praise thee for the omnipresence of Christ, the fact that he's everywhere because he's God. But we thank thee for that very near sense, the favorable presence of Christ, when he comes to sit in a meeting like this beside his people, and to stand with the preacher in the pulpit too, to help Jonathan later on as he brings the message. We just pray for discernment to be able to sense the presence of Christ, to know that he's here, to act in such a way tonight, to think in such a way, to give our hearts over to the Lord in such a way, knowing that the Christ of God is in this meeting. Oh Lord, how great a difference it makes to any service when we really have that knowledge about us and we really understand who is here, present in the meeting. Not just our brethren and sisters in Christ, and we praise thee for that, but the dear Son of God by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you will continue with us in this time and that you will help us to worship the Lord, to give our hearts to him, especially in the word, that we will give ourselves over to the Lord in the preaching. We will come to the word of God tonight as we ought to, with that prayer that young Samuel had, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Lord, we know that if we come with the proper frame of mind and heart, that God will always speak. He will speak through the word as it's read, and he will speak as it is expounded. And so help us, Lord, to hear what God is saying and to be able to know it and prepare us for the season of prayer and to be able to take that word home in our hearts, that word that will abide forever. We pray for those that are sick. We're glad that Moira is sufficiently recovered to be at the midweek. Continue to strengthen her and bring her to a good recovery. We think of Barbara getting out of hospital, still a sick lady, but Lord, we thank thee that she's getting home where she would like to be. Be with her, encourage her, help her. We remember this other lady, Jane, as we commit her into your care. You know how grave her situation is. Lord, perfect that which concerns her. Be pleased to bring her out of this condition. And more than that, bring her to Christ. And we think of Raymond Wallace too, this gentleman who has received very difficult news, humanly speaking, in recent days. And you know what he has to face now over the next few weeks. We pray that that will be his anchor. Thank thee for the day in 1992 when he was saved by the grace of God. And we pray that thou wilt be near to him as we read those words of great assurance today with him, how that the Lord is saying to his people, especially in tough times, fear not, I have redeemed thee, have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. We pray that these sweet words of great assurance will rivet themselves upon his mind and heart and do him good. You promised that when we go through the waters, and there's many waters of affliction, that you'll be there. And Lord, you've told us that the rivers will not overflow us, even though sometimes they threaten to do that. And when we enter into the fire, the fiery trial, Lord, will not be burned. In the metaphoric sense, we know that it was literal for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they went into the fiery furnace. They were not burned. They were not even singed, not one hair off their body. And Lord, when we pass through the fires on this earth, you protect us, you preserve us, you keep us, you bring us through. Just as you did physically for those men, you do it for us in a spiritual sense. We want to commit Jonathan to you now as he comes shortly to read and bring the message that you've given to him for tonight. We pray that thou wilt help him and that thou wilt fill him. Lord, it's always a privilege to preach the word, always a privilege to open up the Bible and to bring a Bible study. And Lord, we know that Jonathan senses that in his own heart tonight. And he needs the freedom that the Holy Spirit alone can give. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And Lord, we desire that for Jonathan this evening. Give him liberty. Bless us, Lord, this evening in this time. Pour out the Spirit upon this people and those that are listening in at home. Lord, do them good for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome tonight in the Saviour's name to the congregation and to those that are tuning in on the internet. You know what the weather's been like this week. You know what the weatherman has said and whatever app you're looking at on your phone. Thankfully, it wasn't as bad, actually, as it said it could have been, although there were some very heavy showers, especially yesterday. But the drive-in missionary rally is still planned to go ahead tomorrow night at 7:30 on the Half East Farm, 82 Steps Road, Donaghcloney. And I want to encourage as many from Ballymoney to be present and to be there giving an interest in the missionary work. There'll be special singing, as you know, and there'll be two main reports, one regarding Kenya, and the Reverend Harris will bring that, and the other one, Uganda. The Reverend McMillan will bring that one, and then our deputy moderator and one of our members on the mission board, Reverend Colin Mercer, he will bring the word, and refreshments will be served at the end of the meeting. So can I encourage you to go? They're hoping to keep it within the hour, just about the hour or so, and you pray that blessing will follow. We meet for prayer on Zoom on the Sabbath morning at 8 o'clock. Our worship service, 12 noon. We come to our meditations in Mark, greatly struck by the little phrase, other little ships. And I want to deal with that text on the Sabbath morning as we cross the seas of this life and we enter into the storms that so often erupt round about us. Let us be conscious that there's others in the same boat or the same condition as we are, as it was back on the shores or the Sea of Galilee when the disciples were crossing with the Lord. There were other little ships there too. The open air in Kernani at 3:30. The baptism service, 3:30 in the afternoon for Greg and Gideon. And the Reverend Ian Brown will be coming to officiate at that. Then the gospel service at 7 o'clock. I hope to be here to preach on the final saying of Christ on the cross. I was just blessed thinking about the great declaration of victory when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." And that was likely the last cry on the cross. If it wasn't the last one, it was the one before it. There is a little difference of opinion there. We do know that he said to his Father, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And those were certainly the last two words to leave his lips. So we're going to sing about the finished work of Christ on Sunday night. Remember the prayer meeting at 5:30. Thank you for your tithes and offerings for the work of God. I received some gifts this week. I received a gift of £120 from a gentleman and his wife who live in England. I received a gift of £500 from somebody who lives down country towards Belfast area. And I've received a promise of a gift of £1,000 for missionary work. So I'm just mentioning that tonight in anticipation of that gift coming. We are much in prayer for Summer Youth Challenge starting now this coming Monday at 7 o'clock and God willing running from Monday to Friday of next week. These are all the announcements that we need to make this evening. We're singing 631. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. And our preacher tonight has chosen the first two hymns of the prayer meeting. Seated. Jonathan, we want to welcome you to your home church tonight, our third and final student taking some of the prayer meetings over the summertime, and we're going to let him come now and bring the message, and you pray for him as he comes. He was in Port of Ogie last Lord's Day, and we heard good reports of his preaching there. We trust that we'll be blessed as we listen to God's word tonight. Lord bless you, Jonathan.
I want to thank Mr. Park for the opportunity to come and take the prayer meeting this evening. And I also want to thank you, the congregation, for all your support, for all your prayers, and it's really hard to believe that it'll be going into fourth year now, going into the last year. It seems like no time. I was up here shaking in my knees in first year, and now I'm up here going into fourth year, still shaking in my knees, but we're glad that the Lord's brought us through. And if you do have a copy of God's words, we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. David McCauley was reading from this chapter last week, and the Lord even spoke to my heart reading on through the rest of that chapter that day. And Colossians chapter 1, we're going to break in there at verse number 23. Colossians 1 and verse 23, and we want to read down to the end of the chapter. Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 23. There the word of God says, "If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery according to the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Amen. We pray that God will bless his word to our hearts and will speak to us through his word tonight. Let's just come to our God in prayer and ask for his help for this message this evening. Our Father and our God in heaven, Lord, we come into your presence, and Lord, we feel our need, we feel the weakness of man. But Lord, I do pray that you would fill my mouth with thy words. Lord, I pray that as thy word would be declared this evening, that it would be as thus and thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray that every word would be a divine word this evening. And I do pray that each and every one in here tonight and those who are listening online, Lord, that we would each have receptive ears, Lord, that are willing to hear the word of God. And Lord, we would have hearts ready to apply thy word as well. Lord, we do pray, speak now. And Lord, bless us through thy word. Help us to still our hearts as we think of these things, Lord, and we do pray that you would give help now in the preaching. Fill me with thy spirit, and fill each and every child of thine in here tonight with thy spirit also. Lord, to that end, we pray, come down and bless us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, growing up here in Hebron, I must say that there's always been something about our church that has blessed my soul and has been a blessing throughout my life. And it is that the church here in Ballymoney is a missionary-minded and a missionary-orientated church. Dr. Cairns, he established the Missionary Weekend back in the days of Cabra. And for those who were looking for updates and seeking to hold those missionaries with the ropes of prayer, those weekends have been a personal blessing to my own life. And I know that I'm sure everyone here who has attended can attest to those blessings in the Missionary Weekends. Reverend Park himself has always endeavoured to lay a missionary burden upon the church here in Hebron. I can never remember a time in our church when missionaries have not been spoken of, have not been brought before us for prayer. We even see it in our announcements every week. Every week we have an update on what Christ is doing right across this globe. And it's a joy to see these things happening. And we can think too of missionaries that have even been sent out from this congregation of ours. People like John and Narana Hanna, who have been sent to Spain and have been there for many years now. We think of Noreen, who spent almost 15 years there in Kenya and now is serving the Lord in Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda, teaching not only the boys and girls, giving them an education, but teaching them of Christ and their need of a Savior. And we think of Pat Mills as well, their work with the people out in Toronto too, many who have came from this church, others who perhaps we have not mentioned. And we are grateful to the Lord for raising up these people to go and spread the word of the Lord, to spread the gospel to every nation, who have dedicated their life and surrendered their life to the Lord. And tonight we have read of the Apostle Paul. And we could say of the Apostle Paul that he was one of the greatest ministries and missionaries for the Lord. From the writings of the New Testament, we can gather that Paul visited at least 50 cities to preach the gospel, to tell them of their need of salvation, to edify the saints, and to exhort them to turn, to exhort sinners to turn from their sin and trust in Christ. He was used by the Lord to establish around 14 churches. And here in our reading, as we know, he is writing to the church in Colossae. And now, while we can gather that Paul did not ever visit this church, because if you turn back to verse number 5 in chapter 1 there, it says there, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints." We see that Paul had heard of the love that these people had for Christ and for the love of the saints. We can tell that the Apostle Paul, he wanted to uplift and edify this church, even though he had never laid his eyes on them. He wanted to seek to teach them from God himself. And he exhorts them in verse number 23 to continue in the faith. He says there that they are to be grounded and settled in their faith. And in verse 28, that is why we see that Paul tells the believers in Colossae that it is the Lord Jesus Christ whom we preach. The apostle is not saying that he labors alone in the gospel, but he is saying that that is to be the business of each and every church member. We preach. We preach Christ. And every Christian is to be a missionary. And every Christian has their own mission field to reach. There are those that you may reach that I and Mr. Park and the workers here in Hebron, there are ones that you may reach with the gospel that we will never reach in this lifetime. We have spoken of Paul, the great missionary in the early church, and we have spoken of examples from our own church here in Ballymoney. But if you're a child of God this evening, then you yourself are a missionary. You have a mission field to go to. You may not feel like it. You may not feel that you are worthy to be a missionary, but you're commanded by the Lord to be a missionary to those who are around about you, to sound forth the word of God to those still dying in their sins around us. And therefore, I want to focus our attention tonight on verse number 28. We want to think of this verse, and we want to think of the Christian's work in the world. We want to think of this subject, the Christian's work in the world. And firstly, I want you to see the subject of the Christian's work. The subject of the Christian's work, because we see here from the very first part of this verse who the subject of our work is. Whom we preach, who is that? Who is it? It is very obvious from the rest of this chapter and the verses preceding this verse number 28 who it is that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. He is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. David dealt last week and for the past 2 weeks of the subject of the image of God. And last week he brought to our attention that Christ there in verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And that is the very one who is the subject of all teaching, of all preaching that we are to be engaged in the work of God. That is what Paul is telling the church in Colossae here. Christ is the subject of the Christian's work. And throughout Paul's letters to the churches that were being established at that time in the ancient world, Paul continually exhorted the members to preach Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 23, preach Christ. He said again in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 12, preach Christ. Then in Ephesians 3 verse 8, you guessed it again, he said, preach Christ. And Christ was to be at the very heart of worship and adoration in the early church. And today he is still to hold that very same place in our heart. He is to be the very epicenter of all that we seek to do and accomplish here on this earth. He must never lose that position in our hearts of being the very focal point of all things. And I wonder, why is that the case? Why is it that Paul is exhorting the church in Colossae here to preach Christ, to be centered there on him, to have him as their subject? Well, if we take Christ out of our preaching, then the message of the gospel falls apart. With no Christ, there is no redemption. With no Christ, there is no blood to make an atonement for our sins. With no Christ, there is no covering for our sins. With Christ, without Christ, the wrath of God is still on our head. If we take Christ out of our preaching, the message of the gospel falls apart. If we take Christ out of our teaching, then the whole Christian faith collapses in on itself. That is why Christ is referred to as that chief cornerstone, that solid rock upon which the church of God is built, the foundation of our faith. And if we lose sight of Christ and how fundamental he is to every aspect of our faith, then our faith is vain if we lose sight of him. Stephen Lawson, he said, "The essence of Christianity is centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The sum and substance of being a Christian is trusting in Christ with the entirety of one's being. The height of the Christian life is adoring Christ, the depth of it loving him, the breadth of it obeying him, and the length of it following him. Everything in the Christian life revolves around Jesus Christ. Simply put, Christianity is Christ." Believer, is that so in your life today? Can you say that the height of your life is adoring Christ? Those are the lofty heights that you wish to aspire to. The depth of your being is loving Christ with all that you have. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. It's the breadth of your life obeying him in everything that he would ask you to do. And it is the length of your life following Christ until the end, being faithful till that day that he calls us home to be with him. I examine my own heart and confess that there are things that distract me all too often from Christ, take us away from that gaze that we should have upon him. Is he everything in your life this evening? Because he is the very subject and foundation of all that we do here upon this earth. He is the very foundation of our faith. He is the very subject of the gospel that we preach. Paul exhorts Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to preach the word. And what do we read in John chapter 1? We read that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. They're speaking of Christ. And Christ is to be the epicenter of the Christian's work here upon earth. Puritan with William Guthrie, he wrote a book entitled The Christian's Great Interest. And in it, he deals with Christ, and he being the Christian's great interest. And to summarize all that he had written in the last chapter, he asked a series of questions. And the very first question he asked was, "What is the great business that a man hath to do in this world?" And he answered, "To make sure a saving interest in Christ Jesus and to walk suitably thereto." And this is to be our great interest. Not only knowing Christ ourselves in a deeper way, day and daily, but also to tell others of him. For him to be the subject of our evangelism. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The Apostle Paul, he wanted to be so taken up with Christ that he was all that he could think about, all that he could study, all that he could put his mind and his focus into. And therefore, child of God, let this be the great desire and subject of our lives, to be focused in Christ, the subject of the Christian's work. Secondly, I want us to see the scope of the Christian's work, because it says here in verse number 28, warning every man. We are to warn every man. Paul sought to be diligent in teaching the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching him throughout everywhere he went. Whether he preached to the religious or the irreligious, whether he preached to the Jew or Gentile, if he preached to the saved or the unsaved, the wise or the foolish, whoever it would be, as God was no respecter of persons, Paul the Apostle too was no respecter of persons. Because in fact we see that Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 22, he said, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that by all means save some," that I might by all means save some. And Paul made sure that when he was sharing the gospel, he was doing so in a way that men and women would respond to. He did not discriminate in who he shared the gospel with. And that is to be the great work of us here on earth. We are not to discriminate in sharing the gospel. Can it be said that we do discriminate when we share the gospel with others? We may speak to our unsaved friends in a kind and pleasant manner. These friends will have lied in their life, possibly stolen their life. They may have used the Lord's name in vain. They have broken God's law, but we want to see them won for Christ. And therefore, we speak gently to them. We speak in a way that we know that we can win them over to Christ. But when it comes to others whom we may not know that well, and especially in the Christian church today, sadly, it can be said of our approach even to the LGBT community, that it's all blood and thunder. It's all judgment of the Lord. It's all guns blazing evangelism. We see it happen on social media. Why do we approach their sin any differently than that of a friend or a work colleague? Is not all sin abhorrent to the Lord? Does not one sin condemn us to a lost eternity in hell? And if we break God's law in one part, we are guilty of it all. The sin of homosexuality condemns just as much as those of lying lips. And therefore, why do we change our approach in sharing the gospel with those who are in that lifestyle? Rosaria Butterfield was a professor at Syracuse University. She majored in women's studies, and herself, she was a lesbian and a gay activist. She received many scathing emails from professing Christians who sadly did not show the love and forgiveness of Christ in their emails. But it was a retired pastor named Ken who Christ used to save her. And she wrote in an article, she said, "Christians who mocked me on Gay Pride Day were happy that I and everyone I loved were going to hell, and it was clear as the blue sky. That was not what Ken did. He did not mock, he engaged. So when his letter invited me together for dinner, I accepted. And of that dinner, Rosaria Butterfield, she said, we talked openly about sexuality and politics. They did not act as if conversations were polluting them. They did not treat me like a blank slate. When we ate together, Ken prayed in a way that I had never heard before. His prayers were intimate, vulnerable. He repented of his sin in front of me. He thanked God for all things. Ken's God was holy and firm, yet full of mercy." Therefore, it wasn't the loud street preacher on the corner shouting at the top of his voice that the Lord used to win this woman to Christ, but the meek and gentle retired pastor who approached her as if she was any other person, as if she was any other sinner needing Christ to be their Savior. And we must be very careful in our approach and those that we are trying to win. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 and 25, there it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Do we have that spirit of gentleness when we tell others of Christ? This verse, it speaks of warning as well. We read here in Colossians 1, verse 28, that we are warning every man. And that word is an interesting word because it means to caution or to reprove gently. And therefore, when we are evangelizing and taking up Christ's mandate to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to all men without discrimination, let us ensure that we are doing that with a loving spirit and a gentle heart. We can see the concern that Paul had in Acts 20, verse 31, it says there, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." The Apostle Paul wanted to warn everyone of the danger that they were in and to warn them all that to die in their sin would mean a lost eternity in hell. He cried over them. He had tears over those who he wanted to be saved. And I wonder, do we have tears over those that we are speaking to, seeking to win them for Christ? So we see the subject of the Christian's work. We have seen the scope of the Christian's work. We are not to discriminate. And we see, thirdly, the study of the Christian's work. Study of the Christian's work. Because the next part of our verse this evening, it says there, teaching every man in all wisdom. Teaching every man in all wisdom. And once we are saved for the Lord, that is not the end. That must not be the end of it. We are to be discipled. We are to teach the word of God that those who are saved might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. John Phillips, he said, this is the first part of the Christian's mission, to reach people for Christ, to bring them to spiritual maturity in Christ. And this is why we as Christians must be diligent in the study of God's word. How can we teach others the riches found in Scripture if we are not studying them for ourselves? You might say, well, it's the pastor and the minister's job to teach the word of God, to preach it week after week. It's not mine. Well, while that's true, while the pastor and the minister has that job to teach and to preach the word of God, that does not mean that you as a believer are to be diligent or are to be negligent in the study of God's word. I wonder, could you tell me this evening that you know more of Christ and his teachings than you did last week? Can you say that you have seen a maturing in your Christian life even this past month? And can you say that there has been spiritual growth even in your life as a believer this past year? I must keep posing these same questions to myself, as it is so easy to slack in our study of God's word. But yet, there's a vital reason why we do it. There's a vital reason why we study God's word, why we learn from his word each and every day. Paul alluded to it in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 4. We read the first part of that verse earlier on. He said there, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And here Paul speaks of that time when men will turn away their ears from truth. And can we not say, dear Church of God, that that day is today? People do not want to hear of truth. This is the age that we are living in today, that age of subjective truth. You speak your truth. What is true for you may not be true for me. There is no more objective truth to the world. There is no standard of truth in this world. But we hold in our hands the Bible, God's truth, which he has given to us by divine inspiration. And R.C. Sproul, he describes society today as a melting pot of worldviews. And he made an interesting point. Let me read it with you very, very quickly. He said, to understand a melting pot culture is not easy. Things get mixed up in a melting pot. When conflicting ideas are stirred up, it tends to get confusing. We may be able to identify the particular subculture we are living in or the socio-economical group to which we belong, but that is not enough to identify our values. We are all thrown in the pot. We are exposed to influence and influenced by a wide diversity of ideas. We get one set of ideas in church, another in school. We learn one set of values watching soap operas and another watching family-friendly dramas. We observe one philosophy at the National Democratic Convention and another at the Republican National Convention. We watch two different movies and get two different views of life. One song will present a worldview that is entirely different from the worldview found in another. All these perspectives, they bombard our brains and shape our thinking. The diversity and confusion are so great that so much of us, it seems, that the melting pot is found not so much in culture but in our own hands, that the asparagus is getting stuck to the pasta, that the result is a basic inconsistency in our lives, an inconsistency that we are often unaware of. We respond, we react, we feel, but we are not always sure why we respond the way we do. And that is society's culture today. Seeing those different melting pots of worldviews, the world is confused today. Is it any wonder that people are confused on their identity and what they believe? It is only when we look at the world through the lens of Scripture that this world can make any sense. We can understand why there is pain and suffering in this world because of sin, as Scripture has told us. We know how marriages should be lived out between a man and a woman because Scripture has told us. Therefore, as Christians and children of God, let us be active in the study of God's word that we might be able to teach those who come to faith in Christ. We have seen the subject of the Christian's work. We have seen the scope of the Christian's work and the study as well in the Christian's work. Lastly, I want us to see the salvation and also the sanctification in the Christian's work. Because it says there at the end of verse number 28 that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What a delight it is to know that we, sinners saved by grace, can be used as instruments in the hand of God to bring men and women unto saving faith in him. And then not only that, but to be sanctified day and daily by the Spirit's help, to be renewed in Christ. It should always be our goal to see others saved and then by the Spirit sanctified by the Lord. And it was Paul's earnest desire that the church would be presented unto Christ holy and acceptable. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, turn with me very briefly over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. And there it says, the apostle, he wrote, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. If we scan on over to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, we see he has similar words of exhortation to the Ephesian church. Ephesians 5 and verse number 27 says there that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This holiness is engrafted into us by the very Spirit of God. And lastly, in Hebrews 13 verse 21, if you turn there as well, it gives us another aspect and more to this thought of being presented holy unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse number 21. It says there, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, it is our work as Christians to ensure that while we are teaching Christ as the subject of our message, while we are preaching the gospel to all men, while we are seeking to edify and teach them in the Word of God, that the Spirit would draw men to himself, that Christ would speak to them, that he would bring them to himself, and that they would then be taught of God's Word. And I wonder, are we being diligent in that Christian work tonight? Can we say that Christ is always the subject of our message when speaking to others? Can we say that we do not discriminate to any, but we preach the same Christ in the same manner to all people? And can we say that we are studying God's Word so that we may be used for the salvation and the edification of the saints of God? I trust and pray that in studying this passage this evening, and studying this verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, that our hearts will be stirred to preach more, to preach Christ to all men, to those who we come into contact with day and daily, and that Christ would use us to the furtherance of his kingdom. Amen. I'll hand back over now to Mr. Park. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan, for the message tonight. That gives you something to pray about as we come to seek the Lord just now in our season of prayer. We'll go through some of these slides, make some suggestions to you. Feel at liberty to pray for whatever comes to your mind and heart. We want to pray for the work here generally, so we're just going to bow together in prayer, and we'll ask some brother or sister to lead us, thinking of the work here at Hebron and thinking of the message that we just heard tonight. Let's all pray.
Father in heaven, we again thank thee for thy word to our hearts and to our souls this evening. We thank thee for the subject of Christ and for the work of the Lord Jesus and for what he has accomplished in these lives of ours. Thank thee for the day and for the hour when thou didst reveal the person of Christ to our benighted souls. And Lord, we do rejoice in him. Thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the commission that thou hast given us as thy people to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we do think of the scope of which our brother Jonathan has spoken this evening, to reach the lost with the glorious good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou would enable us to study and show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We pray, Lord, that thou would enable us to share with others what great things the Lord hath done for us. We do thank thee for the work and for the witness here at Hebron. Lord, we do ask of thee that thou will bless us as we prepare for a youth challenge next week, that thou wilt undertake for the workers and be with Andrew and bless him with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We pray that thou will bring the boys and girls in. Grant that as they sit under the sound of the precious word of God, that thou wilt speak to their needy hearts and souls and bring them to newness of life in Christ. We do ask, Lord, that thou wilt be with the sick of the fellowship. We think of those who were mentioned very commencement of this service, and we pray that thou wilt draw graciously near. Raise them to a full measure of health and of strength, we pray. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name.
Amen. The next little section is the second leading of the church. We've added Raymond Wallace to the list, and the others that are there. Please remember them, including the ministers at the end who are still suffering and in recovery days.
The Reverend Paul Fitzsimons, Dr. Lindsay Wilson.
Mission matters to you. Just got the reports tonight. The next part, we'll look up and see the slides. Praying for our sister Freya and the ministry there at Farrah Tara Centre. We are in contact with these folks every week in Pakistan as they preach the gospel there. Think of the Carmichael School. Our sister Deep is working there. I think there's a little video to play here that you should be able to see. They had built walls, they filled in the centre. So there's as much wall, there's more wall, in fact, beneath the ground now in their foundation as there is above the ground. But you can see them working away there. Over in India this week, Dipankar has been getting students together to teach them and lecture them, giving some of these young men that are hoping to do the Lord's work and go into the pastorate a good foundation in the doctrines of God's word, bringing them through the shorter catechism and so forth. So this week, today and yesterday, he's been gathering in these young men and has had the opportunity to be an influence to them. Remember the orphan project that Dipankar oversees, 90 orphans now being fed every day. And we're thankful to the Lord for that. And we think of the distribution of food to the poor and needy in Nepal. Pray for the start of that new nursery class that has opened now in Kenya through the Glory Bible Church that we're supporting. And pray for the work in Uganda, Andy Foster, and the ongoing renovation work. So this was the apartment that was still to be renovated, so Andy's working very, very hard on that. And remember the work in Romania, the work of Deborah House. There's six young girls, extra girls, who've been brought in just in recent days from very difficult backgrounds. Mispa House, this is a home for young women that have been abused and have had children. So I think there's four girls in that home. And remember the Roma community before the Lord in prayer. So let's remember missionary work. We'll bow in prayer and ask somebody to lead us. And then after that, if somebody can remember the ministry of the Christian school that we've asked you to pray for tonight. So missionary work and then the school, please. Thank you.
Father, we do thank you for the Great Commission.
Yes.
Thank thee that thy word tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Mm-hmm. We do rejoice that you have again reminded us of our need to have at the centre of all that we say and do, mm-hmm. one who is our Saviour. Thank thee that the Apostle Paul summed it up when he said, for of him, to him, and through him are all things. Pray that thou wilt enable us to live in the light of the glory and the wonder of the one who is our Redeemer and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our Father in heaven, as you have, even through the ministry of Hebron, enabled those to go to the different lands of the world to present Christ. We pray that thou wilt continue to bless the work of the mission field. Lord, we are not unmindful of those from our own congregation who labour in places that thou hast called them to serve thee. Remember our sister Noreen. We thank thee for her. Pray that thou wilt continue to bless her and undertake for her. We pray, Lord, that we'll continue to give her the strength and the enablement that she needs to labour for thee there in the land of Uganda. We thank thee for many years that you have enabled John and Arama to serve thee for their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for that land of Spain. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt come in that nation and through the preaching of the gospel bring men and women to a saving knowledge of Christ. Remember our brother Alex, we pray for him and for his dear wife and family. We pray that they will continue to be assured that the congregation here is remembering with the throne of grace. Lord, we think of these lands that you have brought to the work of our denomination in recent times. Think of the work in Pakistan. We think of Nepal, we think of India. Oh Lord, nations where there are the teeming millions of people, yet we thank thee that the promise or the word of God is still true to them, that God so loved the world. He loved Pakistan, he loved Nepal, he loved India. And we thank thee for those in those lands that know thee as their own and personal Saviour. We do pray for our brother De Plankler. We thank thee for the gifts that thou hast given to him. We pray, Lord, that thou will continue to be with him, and may he know guidance and may he know protection. We're very conscious of the assaults of the enemy against the witness of Christ, even in these lands where there is persecution against the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou will surround them with thy presence and cover them with the divine presence of Almighty God, and that as they seek to labour for thee, I will bless the preaching of thy word. Lord, how we've been often encouraged and blessed in our own souls when we think of that day that the Apostle John saw when the Church of Jesus Christ was gathered in heaven. And they will be from every tongue, every kingdom, every language. We thank thee, Lord, that on that great day there will be an ingathering of many from all the nations of the world, because they are the church for which Christ died. Father in heaven, we pray that to this end you'll bless the missionary endeavour of our denomination. Thank you for Mission Board and for the Missionary Council and for the love that you have, Lord, given to individuals to labour and to work. We think of our own pastor. We pray that you'll continue to bless him as he has a missionary burden. We thank thee for the missionary endeavour of this congregation. Amen. Lord, as has been reminded again, missionary weekends that started all those many years ago. Yes. Thank thee for the labours of those who have been diligent in fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. We pray in the Saviour's name.
Amen. Amen. So would you remember the scriptures.
Help me have anything to make. Something to do. And just thank the Lord and God. And just help the Lord to do for his time. And speak. Remember what the Lord has helped to do. And even his way to serve. And just the Lord has helped us. And we want to just all the pick for our students. And we try to thank for each and every one of them. Because they're here. For Jonathan today. Simon and Neil. Simon and Neil. Graduate next month, and we just pay Lord for this group. Just do a little while of the day by trying to define it as well, and never heard from him yet. The Lord is blessed, and we believe. A Bible study to take, so the Lord is going to write out. Bless him there, and God, and God, and God, and the Lord is coming to you. Remember this bill tonight, it's just thank you for the Christians, because we're just thanking for the day. We brought it unto Christmas, and we're just thanking for all the years, Lord, that you've kept it. Going to supply the needs of Ansley and every other way. That's with us today, and Lord, we just pray for Julius, who has counseled overseas to work. We've already kept her well to me when we made the run of the school. And Lord, we pray for Julia and the school. And maybe for the new professor there. And we're ready to speak that word even to the young ones. We just thank you for that early age, Lord. Thought I were to just thank you for those who are still here. Look saved in the morning for that. Blessing the Lord, you do the day, but Lord, you pray to you for that is the fact of all the time. You know, to bless our food and continue to bless the school. People don't even have to come through the school and bring through the years. Yes. And lift their thoughts and pray for just work there, but we just think that her thy work, the Lord, we can testify to you, Lord, they know that her thy work at the school. And Lord, it's only the right of it. Thy word going up, so I'm not too bad to go up. I'm just being even yet. But see, you know, there's a long way to the place where they're going to go to the fire. And see, it's important to be. So we just need to work the struggle to be in the day's life. And to put the best to come back. Sometimes we see the
things. Amen. Amen. We'll sing together 648. Jesus, where are my people meeting? And they behold
thy mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Father, we might be a few and a feeble people, but thou art our God, and thou art near, and thou art able to do great and mighty things. We bless thee tonight that your arm is not shortened that it cannot save, your ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. And so we do pray in the words of Scripture, and this hymn has reminded us about it. Rend the heavens, come down, do your exploits among us. Send the breath of revival to our hearts, we pray, to this nation. But let that revival begin in us. We need it, Lord. We sense it every day. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Bless your word that we've heard tonight. May it linger on. Bless the season of prayer and every petition that has gone to thee. Answer the cries of your people, and thou separate us with the blessing of Almighty God, as we leave your house tonight and we go home for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We get Jonathan to go to the door. He'll put his mask on, go down, and he'll greet you there at the door. Good night. Thank you. Lord bless you.